How do you handle your personal spending and budget? Do you plan and save or just hope for the best as you maintain your wasteful spending and lack of concern for your financial future? Well, hopefully you're part of the first group, not the second. Now, when the governor of a state falls into that second category, there is some long-term bad news which will wind up costing you in a variety of ways. Our first guest today is the co-author of a report that's released by the Cato Institute on the fiscal policies of the governors of our states. The report is called The Fiscal Policy Report Card on America's Governors. He's Kilt Family Chair in Fiscal Studies, Chris Edwards. How are you today, Chris?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
Well, thanks for this bit of information. It might be surprising to some, but at least here in New Jersey, we'll get to in a moment. Not much of a surprise. It's just confirming what we've long suspected. And we've linked to the report specifically over at our website homepage, of course, Cato Institute's at cato.org. Before we get into our New Jersey governor, what were the metrics and mechanics of what you used to arrive at your conclusions in this report?
Well, every 2 years we do. We take a look at all the tax and spending done by the nation's governors, and we're a small government group, so we score the governors who restrain spending and cut taxes the most, the highest scores. The governors who let spending get out of control and push to high taxes, those folks got the lowest scores. So we use tax and spending data from state budgets and other reports, and so the data is objective, but you know we have a viewpoint on what sort of policy is good and what is bad.
And as is the custom in New Jersey, when lists come out regarding anything financial, New Jersey usually winds up near or at the bottom. And well, this time is certainly no exception because New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy is, well, not at the bottom, but as far as the score is concerned, but as far as the grade is concerned, he earned an F. Why did he do that?
Well, two basic reasons. He spent far too much money, and he continuously pushed to hike taxes. So Mr. Murphy came into office in 2018, and since then, the New Jersey budget's gone up about 8% a year on average over those 4 years. Some of the best governors basically kept spending flat. So there's a big difference between 8% growth a year and flat. So that's on the spending side. Then on the tax side, he's been relentless increasing taxes, increasing the millionaire's tax, increasing surtaxes on corporations, increasing, proposing to increase cigarette taxes. And the thing that sort of bothers me about Murphy's policies is, you know, he put this big surtax on corporations, but then he goes around giving special narrow loopholes to certain favored corporations. So, you know, special tax credit for film and digital media companies, tax breaks for New Jersey casinos, and all kinds of so-called economic incentive tax benefits. It would be better if overall tax rates were kept low and no one gets any special deals. But he's done the exact opposite. He's hiked overall taxes, but then cut special deals for favored industries.
That one favorite industry you referenced about the film and TV, which is a good thing because when they come in, they do generate revenue for that area that they're doing the filming, albeit temporarily, and unlike New York City where that's a permanent operation and again financially beneficial. But you know what, when your policy is winds up being named after a member of the Jersey Shore TV show, they started calling that Snooki's Law here in New Jersey. That's got to tell you, I'm not being taken serious with this.
Yeah, but you know what? See, the thing is, though, politicians like to hand out benefits to particular industries because they can do photo ops and that sort of stuff, and then the benefits are sort of visible. But if you keep rates low overall for all kind of small and medium-sized and large businesses, you know, many businesses are going to be hiring and generating jobs and the like and investing, but it's not quite as visible, so it's not as beneficial to politicians. So, I do think keeping overall rates low is better for the economy and it's more fair.
Your report also highlights certainly the millionaire's tax that Murphy is doing. It's not a new idea. Millionaire's tax was implemented by former Governor John Corzine when he was in office. It failed miserably when John Corzine was in office. Remind me, what's that definition of insanity again?
That's right. You know, one of the things I do in this report is I look at interstate migration data. The IRS tells us exactly who is moving from state to state each year, and New Jersey, not surprisingly, is an out-migration state. It's not as bad as New York, the biggest drain in the country. People are leaving New York in droves, but people are leaving New Jersey, and high-income people in particular. They're going to places like Florida and other places that have lower taxes. The problem when you hike taxes on high earners, a lot of them leave, or some of them leave, and then the problem is you lose their income, you lose their investment, you lose their investment in startup businesses, you lose their philanthropy. You know, high earners, people like to demonize them, but actually they do a lot of good stuff for economies. So I just don't think it makes any sense for states to keep hiking those rates on top earners and driving them out, because there's plenty of other lower tax states that would be happy to have them.
That's a thing. Rich people can move. And when your only growth industry in the state is moving companies, that's another sign that you're maybe not approaching this in a more fiscal, logical way. Did see too, Fitch did upgrade New Jersey's rating to an A with an outlook positive, basically because of all the cash the state's sitting on. But that's only because, Chris, that's the tax revenue people were paying, businesses were paying as they're headed for the exit. And of course, a big chunk of change that the state got from the feds for all the COVID programs. So,
that's right. I mean, in fact, it doesn't, you know, every state in the country has a big surplus the last year or so. I mean, the surpluses are just really massive. What states, of course, should be doing is they should be, the times are, you know, have been good now. They should be paying down their debt. They should be building up their rainy day funds because, you know, if we have a recession coming down the road over the next, few months or year or two, that's when state budget trouble starts. So, I hope New Jersey is putting that money aside they're going to need for a possible coming recession.
No, unfortunately, they're not. I don't think, you know, some lessons are obvious to be learned, but hard for some to learn. We're talking with Chris Edwards from the Cato Institute, the report, Fiscal Policy Report Card on America's Governors, cato.org. And we also have a direct link to the report on our website homepage where you can download and check out. If you're listening on the stream, your state as well, we're going to get into some of these other governors and the ones who are, well, apparently getting it right, at least, and you are listening to Issues and Ideas. And with that in mind, who are some of the outstanding A-grade, I guess, students of financial awareness that are serving as governors?
The top five governors from a tax and spending perspective, from our report's point of view, Kim Reynolds of Iowa, Chris Sununu of New Hampshire, Pete Ricketts of Nebraska, Doug Ducey of Arizona, and Brad Little of Idaho. These folks, they held the line on spending, and they put in to law a really big major tax reforms. I mean, our winner, Kim Reynolds of Iowa, she reformed the Iowa individual income tax and chopped the tax rate from 9% down to a 3.9% flat tax. So that was a major reform. She also slashed the corporate income tax in half from 10% to 5%. What Reynolds gets, I think, that governors like Murphy don't, is that they, as we were just discussing, they realize that in a modern economy, businesses and individuals are mobile. They can go to states that treat them better. And so she's making a play here to say, hey, you know, we want our state to be more competitive. We want to attract businesses and investment, and we think that's going to be good for all our residents. And so that strikes me as a much better strategy than the strategy in places like New York and New Jersey, where you're just scaring away some of your most productive people.
Might surprise people, too, when they look at the full report, the overall scores. There are breakdowns of these scores, too. Not every Republican gets it, and not every Democrat is ignorant to this. You had Roy Cooper showing up with a B grade and a 64 score as an example, governor of North Carolina.
That's right. Roy Cooper, to his credit, there is a Republican legislature there that passed a number of major tax reforms, and Roy Cooper has signed them. And there's the governor of New Mexico, Michelle Grisham. She's used the budget surpluses to do a permanent tax cut on the sales tax. So, some of the Democratic governors are getting into the swing of tax cuts and tax reforms. We've actually, the last 2 years have been the largest bunch or wave of state tax cuts in over four decades. It's actually pretty amazing. And part of it is because of the big surpluses we've had. So, you know, what I think states ought to be doing with these surpluses, again, is fill those rainy day funds because, you know, there might be dark clouds ahead, but then also use the surpluses to do permanent tax reform so that your state can become more competitive.
Yes, the idea is to attract people to your state, not repel them as if you've just launched a bug bomb in the center of the Capitol. This really is a fascinating report in so many ways with the breakdowns in the various elements of fiscal awareness, fiscal responsibility. It'll be a great education, and if you're listening on the stream outside of New Jersey, where we're obviously based, you'll find information about your governor as well, and if it's good news, congratulate them. If it's bad news, well, you might have to go on a hiring spree to straighten that situation out. It's called the Fiscal Policy Report Card on America's Governors, put out by the Cato Institute, cato.org. We've been joined by Kell's Family Chair in Fiscal Studies, Chris Edwards. Chris, thanks for the insight into what is really a great report. Thanks for being here today.
Appreciate it. Thank you.